Hello, and welcome to Fit for Life.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Alive Network. This is Melanie Marchand, and you are listening to Fit for Life. Well, happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Today is Valentine's Day, and because it's Valentine's Day, the show is going to be about love. I have asked several people to call in today to let us know what, in their opinion, constitutes a healthy relationship, and secondly, what are the characteristics of their perfect mate? Now, we know that nobody's perfect, so we're not talking about a perfect person. We're talking about the perfect mate for you. I invite you, the listeners, also to call in and join in on the conversation. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. It's a little bit of a change in the format, but I'm excited about it. So here's the call-in number for those of you who are interested in sharing on this Valentine's Day what, in your opinion, is a healthy relationship, because this is Fit for Life, and we are always talking about health. The call-in number is 714-364-4337. Again, the call-in number is 714-364-4337. Please follow the prompt and follow the prompts that will lead you to speak to the host. And that way I know that you are interested in joining me live and answering those questions, okay? So once again, it's Valentine's Day, and this is Melanie Marchand. You're listening to Fit for Life on Spirit Alive Network. And I would like to thank all of you for listening, and I'm going to start with letting you know what I think constitutes a healthy relationship. The first thing on my list is, in order to have a healthy relationship, there has to be mutual respect. There has to be mutual respect. The second thing on my list for a healthy relationship is trust. You have to have trust. If you don't have trust, the relationship is broken. I don't know how easy it might be to move forward when there are trust issues, but trust is something that is very, very important, in my opinion, in the relationship that I'm going to be a part of. Mutual respect and trust. And I also feel like you have to have things in common. You have to have things in common with people in order to have fun together. So those are the key things on my list. I have more, but another thing that I decided to do today is, in between callers, I want to answer some questions that I understand that the listeners have been asking or wanting to ask. So until we get our first caller, I have a caller, but I don't think this caller wants to participate in the discussion because there's no question mark, which is why it's important for you to follow the prompt and make sure that you list that you are interested in speaking to the host, okay? All right. So I'm going to go to the first question that I have. Let's see here. Okay. The first question, how do I trim up the fat around my arm? Trimming up the fat around the arm. Okay. You can definitely tone your body. You can definitely tone your body. Let me start by saying that it takes time, so be patient and make sure that you don't give up before you get what you want, because it can happen. Keep the vision of how you want your arms to look. A trim arms means that you want them to be toned and have contours, and be nicely shaped where you can actually see, you know, some level of definition. One of the best things that you can do to tone your arms is push-ups, whether you're a male or a female. Push-ups are not just for females. I mean males, excuse me. Push-ups are not just for males, and push-ups will not make you look like a man. Push-ups will tone your arms. My sister is a doctor. She's very busy all the time. So when she decides that she's going to have a workout regimen, one of the first things that she does is push-ups. That's one of the first things that she does. And she doesn't have a lot of time to squeeze too much in, so she has to be very efficient when she works out. And when all she did was push-ups, her arms were beautiful, very, very nice, and it didn't take them long to get beautiful. Now, being as competitive as she is, she wanted to do straight leg push-ups. So she would do as many straight leg push-ups as possible, and I let her know that, listen, when you get tired and your form starts to fall apart, then you need to go down on the knees and continue to do the push-ups. I always recommend for my clients to do 20 repetitions. 20 is just my favorite number when it comes to how many repetitions for strength training. But you can do 15 reps, you can do 10 reps. The reality is you need to fatigue the muscle. You need to fatigue the muscle, but not in one set. You need to do more than one set. So I recommend starting out with 3 sets of however many reps that you can do with good form. You have to have good form. Good form means that when you're doing these push-ups, and if you've never done a push-up before, please start on your knees, because you will be discouraged if you try to do straight leg push-ups and you have no upper body strength because you've never really done anything to condition your arm muscles and your chest muscles. When you do push-ups, it encompasses not only the chest and the arms, but the abs as well. So you're working out primarily the chest muscle. A lot of people think that because they're doing push-ups, it's the arms that they're primarily working. But honestly, the primary muscle that you're working in a push-up is your chest, which means that your focus should be on the chest muscle, not on the arms. The arm muscles are a lot smaller than the chest muscle. The chest muscle is big and powerful. So you have to focus on using those muscles primarily when you do a push-up. If you don't, your arm is going to get tired real fast, and you're not going to be able to do a lot of push-ups to get the results that you want. So focus on the chest. Secondly, you also need to focus on your core muscles, your abdominals. You must focus on them also, and because they play a major role in getting a push-up executed. And then the arm work, and it's mostly the triceps on the arms that work when you perform a push-up. So focus on all of those muscle groups when you perform a push-up. Do as many as you can, up to 20 if you're a female. And males, you know, you guys might be able to do more than 20 at once. But even men can go down to the knees when you get tired. Because if you're just starting out, let's face it, you're not going to push out 100 of them. You're going to have to be where you are and do as many as you can. And once you get fatigued after that first set, give yourself a break, take about a minute or two, and then do some more push-ups. And then take a break, and then do another set of push-ups. In no time, you will see a difference in your arm. That's one of the best ways to trim the fat around the arm. Okay? I'm going to go to the second question. I have 2 callers that I see, but I don't see the question mark next to your phone number. So I don't think that you want to talk to the host. Remember, if you want to talk to the host, you have to specify that in the prompts when you call the call-in number. And once again, the call-in number is 714-364-4337, 714-364-4337. Okay, I'm going to go to the second question. The second question is, I am over 40 and I want to lose 15 pounds by June. Is that possible? And what do I need to do? And that comes from a listener who is in Wisconsin. You can absolutely lose 15 pounds by June. What's this, February, March, April, May, June? You have 4 months. I mean, that is so attainable. It is very attainable. So first, the answer is yes. You can lose 15 pounds by June, even if you're over 40. Okay, what do you need to do? Now, if you've listened to the program in the past, then you know that there are always 5 things there are always five things that I talk about that you have to do in order to be healthy and fit. Okay? You have to do cardio to burn the fat. You have to do strength training to tone the muscles. You have to increase your lean muscle mass. And by doing that, you increase your metabolism. And by increasing your metabolism, you burn more fat from moment to moment. Then you have to stretch so that you keep the body balanced so that you will enjoy your cardio and your strength training, because if your muscles get too tight and out of balance because you're not stretching them and you're working out a whole lot, then you're going to get very tight and uncomfortable when you work out, and you're going to be discouraged, and eventually you will stop. So you have to maintain a balanced body as you improve your fitness level. And then you have to eat a certain way, meaning low fat, no sugar, and then you have to make sure you get enough sleep. And yes, sleeping is important to losing weight. Sleeping is very important to making sure that you repair the muscles that you work. So all of that's important. I am going to go and answer some of these calls because I do think that you all have some input. So I'm going to go and we're going to see if we can get some of our questions answered about a healthy relationship. Okay, here we go. Hello, welcome to Fit for Life. Are you there, Carla?
What, in your opinion, constitutes a healthy relationship?
You're asking me?
Yes.
I think I know who this is. Is this my niece?
This is your niece.
Hi, Sydney. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. I will answer that question, and then I'm going to ask you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. The first two things that I think, and I mentioned this when I first opened the show, that constitutes a healthy relationship is a relationship where there is mutual respect. Mutual respect. And the second thing that I feel is very important to have a healthy relationship is trust. If you have trust, then you really can soar in a relationship and have big fun and be secure and not worrying about things. And the third thing is you have to have good communication. I have been in relationships before with people who do not have good communication skills. And can I tell you, it was miserable. I mean, it was very difficult. Because I can't read somebody's mind. So if you're feeling a certain kind of way on a certain day and you don't talk about it, then I don't know what to do. I'm just going to say, I'm just going to be like, okay, something's up. You obviously aren't in a good mood. So I guess, you know, we need to, like, maybe not be together today, or I need to go in the other room. And, I mean, so good communication is so, so, so important. Because, honestly, when I'm in a relationship, I want to have fun.
I totally agree with that.
Yes, ma'am. So what do you think? First of all, you're a young woman. How old are you?
23.
So listeners, we have a 23-year-old calling in. And she's a beautiful woman. And I would like you to tell us what, in your opinion, constitutes a healthy relationship.
Well, like you said, the communication.
Yes.
Just being open and honest.
Yes, that's very important.
With one another.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding. Not just listening, but really understanding what the other person is feeling.
Mm-hmm. So being empathetic and being empathetic, and when they're feeling a certain way, you know, showing some compassion for it.
Right.
That's good. That's a good one. Now, here's my next question.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's no perfect people out here, but for you, what would be the characteristics of your perfect mate?
Well, I don't know if there's the perfect person, because you always want to have the perfect person, but there's always the flaws that come with it. But I think most important is someone that can communicate well and someone that can have fun,
yeah,
and laugh and can mesh with my personality well.
That sounds awesome, and that makes a whole lot of sense. Having fun, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am, that is so important. And somebody who can take you who you are, who can deal with who you are and not judge you and all of that. I mean, those are some great input. Thank you so much for calling, Sydney. I really appreciate it.
Well, can I ask you what your perfect...
My perfect mate
would be?
Okay, yes, you can. My perfect mate would be somebody who has a lot of things in common with me. I like to do things together. So
yeah.
I would definitely want somebody who has some things in common with me, somebody who I can vacation with. You know, because sometimes people go on vacation, and if somebody likes to do the touristy things and then the other person likes to just chill, then, you know, you're on vacation, but you're not really having everybody, both of you aren't
right.
having together. So I also, you know what, my mate has to be healthy and fit. I'm sorry, but I'm just so good that they have to have a
definitely
sense of,
for you.
Yeah, I want somebody who
definitely
is.
Definitely for you.
Definitely. Somebody who is healthy and fit.
You'd be standing over the father eating at the table, just shaking your head.
Exactly. Also, somebody who appreciates music.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who likes to dance. And even though I want them to be healthy and fit, I want them to be able to enjoy good food.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, listen, I cheat sometimes. And when I cheat, it's worth it. If it's not going to be something, it's not going to be fried chicken that doesn't taste good. It's going to be fried chicken that is absolutely delicious. Because I can't waste those calories on something that's not going to, like, really, you know, delight me. So, but I really love good food. I mean, coming from New Orleans, it's kind of hard not to love good food.
Oh, yeah. Grandmother's fried chicken.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I've got somebody else.
Well, thank you for answering my questions.
Oh, didn't I answer it?
Yes.
Oh, you're welcome. Is that what you said? Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Thank you for calling, and you're welcome. And
I love you.
I love you, too, and I hope to talk to you soon, Sydney.
Okay. Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day to you, too. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. That's a young 23-year-old, lovely young lady who gave us some lovely words. And for her young years, she has some good input on that. And now we're going to go to another caller who is going to share with us. Hello, caller. You're on the line. Can you hear me?
Hi, Mel.
Hi.
How are you? Happy Valentine's Day, girl.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to you, too. Who am I speaking to?
Girl, this is Betty. What you talking about? You know who this is.
Hey, Miss Betty. Thank you so much for calling. All right.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And speaking of which, I like to reiterate on everything that you and the young lady was talking about, because those were all the things that I was going to say. And basically, I agree with both of y'all. I really do.
Trust.
Huh?
Mutual respect and trust.
Yeah. I mean, you know, relationships are like marriages.
Yeah.
You got to work at it. If
yeah.
you want a good relationship, you definitely have to work at it.
Yeah.
It's not a game. It's not really fun. It's hard. But It is fun, but it's hard also. But I mean, you got to work at everything you do anyway. You got to work out. You got to work at exercising. You got to work at cooking. You got to work at everything you do in life. Everything is work. But when you have someone that you care about in your life and that person is really important to you and you love them because love is the main characteristic in a relationship that makes it, that's the glue that holds it together, as well as being honest and truthful and respectful and communication. And don't forget sex. Sex is, that's a big part of it too. All of that, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it. It really is. It's so worth it. And
well, what do you think, what would be the characteristics of a person that you would be with?
He would have to be romantic.
Mm-hmm.
I love romance because I'm a romantic at heart. So he has to be a romantic to romance me and to catch my attention. He has to be funny.
Yeah.
He has to look good when he dressed because I'm not going out with nobody shabby.
Right.
I don't want to be with nobody shabby. You got to look good because I'm looking good.
Okay.
I'm 59 and I'm fine.
Yes.
Huh?
Somebody who's dapper, somebody that knows how to dress.
Yes. Dance, because I love to dance. Play games, like we have friends around. You know, we have game night, whatever, you know. I mean, I want my life, what life I have left on this earth, I want it to be interesting. I want it to be fun.
Excellent.
Because life is too short. Life is short.
Life is short.
And you got to live as much of it.
I agree.
You got to live it to the fullest.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you, Betty. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate your input. We're going to go to the next caller. I hope you continue.
You're welcome, girl. Talk to you later.
I will see you in Zoom.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Love you.
I love you, too. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi,
this is Donna.
Hey, Donna, how are you?
I am great, Melanie. Happy Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day to you also, Donna.
Yes. Both callers before me have said exactly the same things that I was going to say about having a healthy relationship, you know, and the characteristics of what I would like in the person that I'm with. So are you supposed to ask me the question or how does it work?
Well, yeah, I mean, do you have anything to add in terms of, you know, what you feel a healthy relationship is?
Not a whole lot more to add, but in my opinion, a healthy relationship is one in which the two people can have great communication, mutual respect, and empathy for each other. Without empathy, there's no compassion. And so, you know, compassion allows you to understand the other person's feelings and experiences, you know, without making judgments and, you know, having a whole lot of confusion happening in the relationship.
Yeah.
So I guess the part that I would add is the empathy.
That's a good word. That's a good characteristic to have in a relationship because every time to go through tough, stressful situations.
Yes, exactly.
So,
and patience, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of us
And I love what the other caller just said, because I forgot to include that when I was thinking about the question. You know, I love my partner to be a nice dresser because I like to look nice.
Yeah, you know
and
what?
So when we're, and so when we're out together, you know, I want us both to be looking nice. So, yeah, a nice dresser.
Yeah, that was a good part that she brought up that I didn't think about. But that,
yeah.
You want to look good. You want to look, you know, you want to represent.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Excellent. And what would be the characteristics of your mate besides anything else? Anything else you want to add to that?
You know, intimacy is very, very important to me because there's got to be a time away from the iPhones and all the smartphones, you know, and just sit and be comfortable with each other and, you know, cuddle and
you know,
all those things.
That's a big deal these days. What you just mentioned is a huge deal because, you know, when we were younger, we didn't have all this technology. And technology is having a major impact on relationships. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just opened up something that is key to discuss at a time like this because you've got texting, you've got tweeting, you've got email, you've got Facebook, you've got all these ways that you can communicate with so many people all over the world. And it has, I'm sorry to say this, but I feel like a lot of it has a negative impact on relationships.
Yes, it has.
And it's important that you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. I had one situation where the person was in such a hurry to get to they received a text and it was like at the end of the lovemaking, they were just interested in getting to the text. I was like, I'll be damned. It was hilarious, but then it was annoying and I got angry. I was like, okay. You know, the texting and the cell phone, oh, my goodness, it's so intrusive.
You know,
that's intrusive.
Not good at all. That was not good at all. That's bad.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad we connected, Mel. Thank you for being in my life, you know. Oh, my gosh, you don't know. I've been telling everybody, I got my old instructor back. I'm so happy.
I'm so glad that you are now coming to my classes. I'm so glad that we found each other. That's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
And exercising is so important. And, you know, to have that kind of excitement from you for, you know, having fitness back in your life and at the level that you want it is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you can exercise. You know, there's exercise and there's exercise. I mean, you know, you want to enjoy what you're doing. You want it to be hard enough. You want to have good music. You want to have motivation. So I'm just glad that you follow me and that you're back in my classes. It's wonderful to have you.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us your characteristics of a perfect mate and what you consider a healthy relationship. And great rest of the day, and I will see you, sure, next week?
Sure. All right, now.
All right. Talk to you soon, Donna.
Talk to you soon. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We are going to go to another question. I hope that you guys are getting something out of this discussion. Although, you know, it seems like a lot of people want similar things in a relationship. You know, we want mutual respect. We want trust. We want to have fun. We want to have a good communication level. We want to have things in common. We want people to, you know, dress a certain way so that you represent and all that good stuff. Before I had the other caller, these callers, I was asking a question from a person who said that she was over 40 and wanted to lose 15 pounds by June. And so I mentioned push-ups primarily. Oh, no, that was for the fat around the arms. I'm sorry. I need to get back to the woman over 40 who wanted to lose 15 pounds by June. I mentioned the five key components of fitness that you must incorporate in your life. And what I'll do now is I mentioned cardio, strength training, stretching, low-fat eating, low-sugar eating, and proper rest. So let me just quickly talk about guidelines for those key components. In terms of cardio, you want to perform, if you can do cardio every day, that would be awesome, especially because you need to work the heart muscle anyway, and that's the most important muscle in the body. It's heart month, so I'm going to, you know, I have to mention that. But, yes, if you did, like, 15 to 20 minutes of something every single day, like walking on a treadmill or walking in your neighborhood or walking at the park around the track, that would be wonderful in terms of lowering your risk of heart disease. But when it comes to cardio and strength training, these days one of the best things to do is circuit training, interval training, going back and forth between cardio and strength training, cardio and strength training. A lot of group fitness classes are now geared towards doing both. So let's say, for instance, you jump rope for as long as you can, say 1 to 3 minutes, and then you go and you do some kind of strength training, like lifting dumbbells, doing shoulder presses, okay? And then you go back to the jump rope, and then you go to a strength move, and then you go back and forth between cardio and strength training. That's a great way to work out, okay? So if you can't do cardio every day, you want to do it at least 3 times a week. You have to do it at least 3 times a week to make an impact, okay? So keep that in mind. At least research has shown that in order for you to benefit from cardiovascular training, you have to do it at least 3 times a week. I recommend that you do 30 to 60 minutes of cardio, okay, 30 to 60 minutes of cardio when you have a cardio session. Strength training. You need to strength train every body part at least once a week. Of course, the more you do, the better. Let's say you work legs on Monday and Thursday. Let's say you work chest on Tuesday and Friday. Let's say you work arms on Wednesday and Saturday. You know, break it down, and, you know, the more you do, the faster the results come. You can't just run and expect your body to change like you want it to. It'll change faster if you strength train and do cardio. So don't do one and not the other. Once again, you have to stretch. You have to stretch to keep the body balanced, all right? So I'm going to go back to a caller that's on the line, and we're going to get some input on healthy relationships. Hello, caller, you're on the line. Hello, are you there? Okay, this may be a caller who just missed. Go back. My question. All right, let's go back to the question. Okay, so hopefully the young lady in Wisconsin who's over 40 will get that 15 pounds off. You can definitely do it. You can definitely lose 15 pounds by June. Focus and stop eating fried food for a while. Stop eating a lot of sugar. Minimize your cheating. Treat yourself, say, take one day out of the week. If you're really serious about looking good by June or losing 15 pounds by June, you can sacrifice right now. And imagine, once June hits and you're looking fabulous, you feel great, hey, once you're done, once this event is over that's going to happen in June, you can, you know, go ahead and, you know, give yourself a week to relax and enjoy those things that you were away from for a while, just for a little while, just maybe a week. And then get back to it so that you can stay healthy and keep moving forward. Because once you lose those 15 pounds and you start looking good and better, rather, because you might look good now, you just want to look better, then guess what? You're not going to want to backslide. You're going to want to keep moving forward because you're going to feel really good about how you feel and about how you look. Okay, here's another question. Stomach crunches, losing the waistline. Do stomach crunches help me lose my love handles also? And that's from a person in Massachusetts. Okay, stomach crunches will only change your body if you do not eat poorly and if you also do cardio. Stomach crunches alone will not get rid of love handles, and you will not necessarily see the six pack or whatever it is that you might want to see, or you may not have a flatter stomach just by doing crunches. Okay, so let's just start there. Crunches alone are not going to flatten your stomach. You must do cardio. Whether you love it or not, you have to do it. Okay? What does that mean? That means you have to walk on the treadmill, you have to do jump rope, you have to take aerobic classes, you have to climb stairs, do the elliptical machine, roller skate. You have to do cardio. Cardio, the way I describe it, is anything that makes you breathe heavy and sweat. Sweating is healthy. For those people out there who don't like to sweat, you need to like to sweat. And even if you don't like to sweat, you still should sweat because it helps to get rid of toxins. And it means that your body's working properly to cool you down. It's your body's cooling mechanism. So, you know, sweating is a healthy thing. So embrace it. When it happens, embrace it. When it doesn't happen, you might not be working hard enough. So the person who wants to lose, who get your waistline smaller, the best thing that you can do is all the five key components that I mentioned, cardio, strength training, stretching, sleep, and eating in a low-fat way. You can't eat sweets every day and expect to have a flat stomach. You just can't do it. A flat stomach and eating sweets every day, if you're a dessert kind of person, you're going to have to limit that dessert. You're going to have to limit that dessert to once or twice a week. Okay? This is reality. This is reality. All right. And the cardio that you do, you need to do at least 30 minutes. Strength training, yes, you do have to strengthen the stomach, and you do have to do stomach crunches and all kinds of other stomach exercises. Don't just limit it to just crunches. First of all, make sure that you're doing crunches properly. A lot of people get neck pain when they do crunches because they're pushing on their head with their hands. And a crunch is not about your head bobbing back and forth. Be careful with that because you can hurt yourself. What you have to do is focus instead on lifting the shoulders away from the floor. Lifting the shoulders away from the floor is really how you execute an abdominal crunch. Not only should you go straight up and down, but you have to go sideways to get the obliques as well. If you work on a stomach machine at the gym, make absolutely sure that you're focused on the stomach muscles and you're contracting the stomach muscles while you work them. Listen, you can actually build a stomach muscle. You can actually build a stomach muscle if you do not contract the stomach muscle while you're working it. You know how you build a bicep or you build a muscle in your body? You can build muscles in your stomach if you do not contract the abs while you work them. So, once again, you have to focus when you strength train. You have to focus on what you're doing. You have to focus on the muscle that you're targeting, okay? All right, so to my friend in Massachusetts, yes, stomach crunches will help you. If you are not eating fried chicken, butter, what else, donuts, processed food, you got to put the processed food down. White flour products like pasta, bread. You got to back off the bread. Okay, so hopefully that's enough information for you to get going with getting that waistline down. And love handles, you got to burn that. Love handles, it's nothing but fat. That's all it is fat. So, and we know, and this is my last comment on that, and then I'm going to go to the next question. Love handles is fat. And in order to burn fat, remember, you have to do cardio because cardio directly burns fat, and you have to do strength training so that you can increase your lean muscle mass, and by increasing your lean muscle mass, you increase your metabolism, and by increasing your metabolism, you burn more fat, okay? So you have to focus on all those things. I'm giving you information that I really hope you execute because if you do execute this information, you will change. You have to be honest with yourself, and you can't pretend that, you know, okay, I'm half doing it, so I should change. No, you need to do it, and you need to execute it at least, you know, like 80%. Follow the formula, focus, and, you know, get that flat stomach, because you can do it. Continue to visualize what you want to look like, because trust me, you can definitely achieve it. A lot of times we don't think we can achieve certain things, and we can. Sometimes we quit because we're not patient. So if you're patient, it will come. You have to believe in your program. So make sure that you believe in your program, execute it, and keep moving forward. Let's face the facts. If you stop, you're not going to get anything. If you stop, you're going to just backslide, and it's just that simple. Okay, we have another caller, and I'm going to go on to this next caller. That's hello, caller, you're on the line.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. My name is Kimberly.
Hi.
And my first question was, what, in your opinion, constitutes a healthy relationship?
I started the show with what I think. But some people may have just started tuning in, so I'm going to definitely repeat that. Okay, what in my opinion constitutes a healthy relationship is mutual respect, a high level of trust, a good communication skill. Oh, my goodness, communication to me is, like, huge. And then a couple of callers said some really good things that I'm going to repeat. Understanding of one another, having good understanding, that's important. Being empathetic is very important. Having things in common is important. Those for me are the big ones. What do you think constitutes a healthy relationship?
Having faith. And you actually said the others. I'm sorry I got into the call late.
That's okay.
You said the call earlier. But, yeah, trust and communication. Definitely feel like communication is very important, because without that communication, it probably nothing else is going to go right.
That's so true.
You got to be able to have common interests and be able to communicate with each other.
Absolutely. Having common interests. Which characteristics would your perfect mate have? We know that nobody's perfect, and I'm not talking about a perfect mate, a perfect person. I'm talking about for you, you know, for Kimberly, what are the characteristics of a person that you would want to have in your life?
Someone who's compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Honest.
Yes.
Open. And it all kind of goes back to what constitutes a healthy relationship, because they kind of go hand in hand with these characteristics. The, you know, someone you can count on to trust, honesty.
Yep.
Communication. It all kind of ties in together. Someone who cares about their health.
Yeah.
They want to be healthy. They want to be physically fit. They want to do what's best to stay around for a while, especially as you get older.
Absolutely. Because if you're with somebody that's not taking care of themselves, then eventually, you know, the health is going to, I mean, the aging process is real, and eventually the aging process is going to take over, and the health is going to, you know, go in a certain direction that won't be good, because they're not making any good decisions. And then you being their mate, you being their life partner, you'll end up having to take care of them. I mean, granted, you know, you know when you're in a relationship, you're there for the long haul, but, you know, if you commit it, but it's just not fair for a person to not be empathetic to the fact that if they let their health fail, they're going to have to, you know, they're putting a burden on their partner. I mean, it's just not fair. That's why, you know, I think it's great also to have somebody who is health-oriented, because that way, you know, at least you have a fair chance at having a good quality of life for the long haul.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate your input. And did you have a great Valentine's Day?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. That's fabulous. Well, all right. Thanks so much for calling. You have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Okay, some more good input from listeners who we're talking about, since it's Valentine's Day. I'm asking people to call in and to let us know what their opinion is, what constitutes a healthy relationship. This is Fit for Life, and we're always talking about health. So what constitutes a healthy relationship, and what the characteristics what would be the characteristics of your perfect mate. The call-in number for those that are listening who would like to provide input or ask any questions about health and fitness, the number is 714-364-4337. All right. In between callers, I have been answering questions that have been posed, and I am going to go to the next question. The next question is, back injury has prevented me from exercising. Is there anything I can do in order to stay in shape? Okay, and this comes from someone in Texas. Okay, wow, I'm sorry to hear that you have a back injury. I hope that you're listening tonight. I don't know when this question may have come in last week or the week before on a prior show, but to the person in Texas who asked this question, well, the severity of your back injury will determine what you can do, and not knowing what kind of back injury you have will make it difficult. But here's some ideas. Pilates is a form of exercise that actually can help to work around injuries. Pilates is so intricate, but it's also a wonderful activity for people if they have been in accidents or something. I have a Pilates coach. I've been trained in Pilates, as a matter of fact, and the woman who trained me here in Philadelphia is phenomenal. And she actually works with a lot of people who have injuries, and she helps them to repair those injuries. She helps them to recover from a lot of injuries. So I know that she has a lot of clients who've been in car accidents, and she really helps them to improve the quality of their lives by working the core muscles. And once your core muscles are strong, you can maneuver your body better. Your overall functionality improves. So my suggestion to you would be to hire a one-on-one Pilates coach to get started there. And by getting started there, I know that there's nothing but good things that will happen in terms of moving you forward from where you currently are so that you can do more. So by starting with Pilates, a one-on-one coach who's very seasoned, who really knows how to work with people who have injuries, and then from that point, you will probably be able to do more once you strengthen your core and maneuver your body in certain ways using all the different machines that that Pilates instructors use. Okay, don't go to a gym, you know, where they teach group classes. Go to a boutique where Pilates is offered one-on-one, and get yourself a coach. And I bet you that you will improve. Okay, all right. Let's see if I have any more callers. Okay. I'm going to go to the next question. The next question is, exercising pregnancy, will that hurt the baby if I still exercise? And this is coming from a listener in Florida. Okay, here's the scoop on pregnancy. the recommendation is, if you were not exercising before you got pregnant, then starting an exercise program during pregnancy is not necessarily a good thing, okay? So if you've been exercising all along, then no, you will not hurt the baby. I have actually had personal training clients who were pregnant. Listen to this. I had a client. I had been training her already for like 4 years, and she got pregnant. She got married. She got pregnant. And do you know that this woman exercised until the day before she had that baby? It was unbelievable. As a matter of fact, this woman was doing moves that people who were not pregnant, who were on my schedule, could not do. That's how strong she was. But she had been working out with me for a very long time, so she had a very strong body. And can I tell you that after she had that baby, that weight flew right off. Her weight dropped, and she was absolutely beautiful within 1 week after she had that baby. That's another testament to what exercise can do for you. If you have a conditioned body, it helps you to push when you're having a baby. And I'm telling you, it really helps the whole process. And once the process is over, that body bounces right back very quickly. So exercising during pregnancy will not hurt the baby if you've been exercising. And I'm not going to say it will hurt the baby if you haven't been and you start. If you decide that you want to exercise and you haven't been exercising, do it gently. Be careful and make sure that you have input from your doctor. And you may even want to have a trainer who's experienced with training pregnant women, okay? Be careful. Hopefully you've been exercising all along and you will just continue to exercise. It's certainly not a problem. I had another experience with a woman who was a runner, and she got pregnant. And she actually ran until probably her 7th month. She was a runner. She ran on the treadmill all the time during her pregnancy. And but once there was a little bit too much pressure, she stopped running, but she continued to do the strength training. And she, too, did really, really well with her process of childbirth. So that's the answer to that question. Okay. Next question, what kind of meal plan should I start with to get in shape? And this comes from someone in Kentucky. Low fat, low sugar. Hey, you know, another thing that's very important if you're trying to lose weight and you're trying to get a meal plan going, you got to eat breakfast. You must eat breakfast. Breakfast jumpstarts your metabolism. Too many people out here are not eating breakfast. And that's a mistake, especially if you're trying to get in shape. Trying to get in shape, you have to start eating early in the day, and that way you don't eat into the night too late, because you don't want to be eating like within three hours of sleeping. You don't want to be eating. If you're going to sleep at 10, you shouldn't eat after 7. If you're going to sleep at midnight, you shouldn't eat after 9, okay? So that's kind of how that goes. So eating breakfast is the first thing that I will say to you. Okay. The second thing is limit your treat to 1 or 2 times a week. Hey, if you're serious and you're focusing on getting in shape, you know, when you commit, then there's some sacrifices you have to make. And that's with anything in life. Anything you decide to do in life requires compromise and sacrifice. So, you know, you have to exercise some discipline, and you have to plan your meals, and you also have to know that eating in a healthy way is not a bummer. Eating in a healthy way is positive. It makes you feel good. When you're healthy and everything is moving like it's supposed to and your bodily functions are on point, it's a good thing. It makes you feel good. And you get to a point where you don't want the stuff that's not going to make you feel good anymore. So those are the biggest tips that I can give you in terms of what kind of meal plan you should have to get in shape. You also want to make sure that you eat throughout the day, small meals throughout the day. And another nugget that I will give you is for dinner, don't eat carbs. No carbs at dinner. That's huge in getting in shape. OK? okay? No carbs at dinner. Protein, vegetables, a salad with chicken, a salad with fish, a salad with chickpeas, salad with tofu, perfect for dinner. And don't eat the dressing that is full of fat. Next question. I keep exercising, but it's like my body stops losing weight. I have been the same weight for over a month. Am I doing something wrong? And this comes from a listener in South Carolina. Well, you know, the body always is going to plateau if you continue to do the same thing. One of the biggest things that you can do to keep your body moving forward and keep it changing is you have to shock the body. You have to shock it. So change your routine. Change it up every so often. Listen, as long as your body is changing, keep doing what you're doing. Once you plateau, change something. So if running on the treadmill is what you've been doing, and then your body plateaus, it gets used to it, do something else. Go do an aerobics class. Go do a kickboxing class. Go do a boot camp class. Go do a Zumba class. Mix it all up. Keep your body guessing. If your body is expecting you to do the same thing over and over all the time, it's going to stop changing, and that's real. That's normal. It's nothing going on. There's nothing wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. That's the way the body operates. If you're the same weight over a month, this is another piece of information that is very, very important for you to hear. Check this out. There are a lot of people who need to change the composition of their body. And when you're changing the composition of your body, sometimes the scale does not move. Do not put too much stock in the scale. If you are converting your body to a leaner body, you're going to be at a standpoint at some point when you are lowering your body fat and you're increasing your lean muscle mass. You got that? There are a lot of people, I have a client in particular who's changing like crazy. This is a good time to bring her up. She's changing like crazy and the scale is staying the same. She's looking better and better, and the reason why is because she's getting leaner and leaner. She's increasing her lean muscle mass, and she's decreasing her body fat. Body fat is lighter than muscle mass. Muscles are 3 times heavier than fat. And because of that, the scale may stay the same when the composition of your body is changing. My biggest advice to you in South Carolina is do not stop exercising. Keep it going. Eventually, you will continue to see change on the scale after that composition has changed. But still, shock your body by doing something different. But never stop. Don't ever, 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 ever stop because you think that, oh, I'm not losing weight anymore, so I'm going to stop exercising. That doesn't make sense because you need to also focus on the fact that when you exercise, you're getting healthier. And the key, we all should focus on the health part of it, not so much the body shrinking, but the body getting healthier and increasing the quality of your life, increasing your longevity, getting those endorphin hormones going so that you lower your risk of depression, those good feel hormones. Every time you exercise, you're going to feel them. So keep exercising, even if you plateau. Understand that it could be because your body composition is changing. Shock your body. Do something different, okay? I've answered all the questions. So if you want to go to Facebook to the Arise for Life, if you go to Arise for Life, you can always post questions there, and I will answer them on the show. You can always call in as well, but we're running out of time. I've had a great time with you all. I hope that you did get inspired by the show. I hope you had a great Valentine's Day. I hope you have a great week until I'm with you again. And please do send us more questions. I like answering questions. And from the team here at Spirit Alive Network, be transformed. Eat well, stretch, meditate, breathe, and focus on fitness all the time. Keep your health a top priority. Peace be with you all. And I hope that you're listening next Thursday. Take care. Good night.